35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Called a rhetorical question. Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? The baying crowd are going, no, no. As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. Verse 37, no. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. This series is called Great Big Promises. I promised you some great big promises. It doesn't get any greater and bigger than that. So a quick recap on what we covered last week to set this up, I guess. One of the most critical and crucial and pivotal revelations that we need as believers is that God has made a whole bunch of big and bold and spectacular promises to us, his adopted children. And without doubt, what we do with those great big promises is pivotal. In fact, I would argue it is life defining. And the danger is, I think, that for whatever reason, we end up living way beneath those promises. And that would seem to me to be such a shame. And this series is aiming to do something about that. So this is part two. Last week, we looked at the nature of New Testament promises. If you recall, we said that most Old Testament promises have two clauses, an if and a then. But the good news is most New Testament promises don't really have an if. That they are, in essence, unconditional. In other words, the if is not if I fulfill certain conditions, or if I meet specific qualifications, or if I attain some level of conduct or goodness. The only if qualification in almost every New Testament promise is in Christ. So that means that rather than being conditional promises, they're really unconditional, factual declarations. They're statements of what God has done and what we now have and who we now are as a result of the finished work of Christ on the cross. So the if is in Christ, the then it's really a doorway into the abundant life that Jesus promised us. But there's a trouble, there's a problem. And the trouble is that we have an unerring tendency to add a third clause, a third component to those promises. Not just the if, also the then, but we love adding in buts. But not me. But not this time. But not in this situation. But not under those constraints. But not with those people. But not with me because of my inadequacies. And those buts might be kind of exception conditions that you invent. That they might be perceived imaginary disqualification clauses that you tag on the end. They may well be irrational, unbiblical reasons. It will work for everyone except for you. And then danger, as we said last week, is that those buts consistently sabotage your faith and in reality keep you from the promises. So pretty much where we finished last week, if for every situation you find yourself in, when you're standing in front of any promise, the three things you need to do. Number one is you need to work out if there is an if clause. Is there an if, firstly? Then secondly, you need to make sure that you are crystal clear on what the then really means. I mean, it's possible to underread or overread the promises, isn't it? And then the third thing we need to do is we need to start to disqualify those feisty buts. buts. And as I promised last week, the plan for this series is to work our way through a list of some of the wonderful New Testament great big promises. And today we're going to start with this one, Romans 8, 37. So to begin with, as I said, we're going to look at the if. What is the condition in here as Paul has written it down under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit? Romans 8, 37. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. So what's the if in there? What's the condition? What's the qualification? And the answer is through him who loved us. In other words, this promise is really an unconditional declaration of who you now are and what you now have in Christ. It does not say you will be more than a conqueror if you are really talented. It does not say you'll be more than a conqueror if you are really clever. It does not say you'll be more than a conqueror if all your ducks are in a row. Or if you're living the perfect life, or if you're ticking all the right religious boxes. It says no, you are more than a conqueror through Christ, if you're in Christ. And again, the good news is this makes this promise accessible to absolutely everyone in this room. It's not just for the mature. It's not just for the leaders. It's not just for the specially gifted. It's not just for the optimists. It is for anyone who is in Christ. We just need to make sure we're doing it through Christ, his way, in his strength, trusting in his promises, leaning on his wisdom, and not allowing ourselves to be knocked off course and distracted by any of those feisty buts, which we will come to in a minute. If, then, next step. What is the then? What does this promise really offer us? Read it again, Romans 8, 37. In all these things we are, here we go, more than conquerors through him who loved us. Now, the Greek word that has been rendered here, more than conquerors, it's a single word, is the word hupernikao. And it means to gain a decisive and surpassing victory. Very little Greek lesson, which I'm not 100% sure I'm qualified to give, but there's a wonderful book called Sparkling Gems in the Greek by a man called Rick Rander, who is qualified. And this is what he says about this. This word, hupernikao, is actually made up of two parts. The second part is nikos, and the first part, huper, which is what we get hyper from. So nikos means, literally, it means an overcomer, a conqueror. It means a champion. Starting to get the picture? It means an overwhelming and prevailing force. And the little prefix hooper means this. It means more than. It means over, above, and beyond. It means something that is way beyond measure. And it carries the idea of superiority, first class, greater, higher, superior, dominant, unrivaled, and unsurpassed. Now, to be Nikos in itself is fantastic. Who wouldn't want to be an overcomer or a champion or an overwhelming force? But you know what? For Paul, Nikos was not strong enough. So he had to add hyper to the beginning for emphasis and reinforcement. Literally, this means we are hyper conquerors. We are preeminently victorious. Rick Renner describes us as a phenomenal, walloping, conquering force. When I look out on you, ladies and gentlemen, I see a phenomenal, walloping, conquering force. Amen? I can take it that you need a bit of convincing. But that's what this morning is all about. So how's that written in the various translations? NIV, as we've read, says, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. The New Living Translation, I use that a lot, says, no, despite all these things, overwhelming victory. Not just a little piddly one. It's like Man City Forest. It's not going to be 1-0. Sorry, Joel. Amplified said, yet amid all these things, we are more than conquerors and gain a surpassing victory through him who loved us. And then Rick Renner translates it like this. We are greater conquerors, superior conquerors, higher and better conquerors. We are more than a match for any foe. We are utmost conquerors, paramount, top-notch, unsurpassed conquerors, unequaled and unrivaled conquerors. Subtle, I know, but hopefully you've got it. And we're going to dig into that a little bit deeper in just a minute. Remember, what did I say? If, then, fantastic. Here comes the problem. We start adding in the buts. What are some of the common buts? Well, if we place this into the Romans 8 context, he says what? This promise holds true in all these things. And Paul has just listed a whole bunch of challenges and opponents and of threats to our identity, and he should know. If you like, Paul lists in this, puts this promise right into the middle of a whole bunch of big buts. Romans 8:35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble, the but, hardship, persecution, famine, nakedness, or danger, or sword? And then he goes on in verse 38, 39, for I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. In other words, Paul is saying there are a whole bunch of buts. And Paul was experienced in dealing with every single one of them. But he said, no, right in the middle, in all of these things, we, you, I, all of us in Christ are more than conquerors. And I hear people saying, muttering around the room, I'd love to be more than a conqueror, but it's just too hard, Pastor. You don't know. You don't understand. I just have too much on my plate. But I'm weak. But I'm sick. But I'm just not clever or competent or talented enough to win this fight. But there's a big demon behind that bush and he's out to get me. But I blew it last time. But I blow it every time. But the future is so uncertain. But it's arrogant to make such a bold claim. But God is distant. God seems absent. But God doesn't really care about me, whether I conquer or whether I get crushed. In essence, that's all very well and good for you to say. But there's a mountain of obstacles standing in my way. But there's a plethora of forces tugging in the opposite direction. And I just don't have the strength to take them on. To which I'd say, bingo. You just stumbled across the solution. Where does this overwhelming victory come from? What's the trump card? The answer, through him who loved us. Folks, it's his victory. It's his power. It's his word. It's his authority. It's the strength of his covenant. What you can do, your past experience, your strengths and weaknesses are not the issue here. It's through him who loved us. His shed blood. His sacrificial death. His empty tomb, his new covenant, His bold promises. His mighty name. Team, if you are trying to conquer through you whose weaknesses you know and despise, you will fall short. However, if you are trying to be a conqueror through him, the all-powerful, all-conquering one, the one who loves you with an unquestionable, unbreakable, unshakable love, that is an entirely different story. Okay, so I've put out some buts. Next step is to start to unpick and to disempower these buts. And you know what? Surprise, surprise. We're going to use scripture to disqualify all those exception clauses that you're making up. A little bit of scripture straight from the get-go. Romans 12, verse 2. Do not be conformed to this world, but, different kind of but, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We said last week, we've probably got a whole lot of a negative, destructive, flawed thinking that we have to unpick and unlearn. And we need to use the truth of God's word to relearn his ways and his promises. Proverbs 3, verse 5, we finished with this last week. Trust the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on all your buts. I'm not going to get into that one. Do not lean on your own understanding, I think it really says. And then John 8, 32, then you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. So I guess we need to prove that all those buts are just untrue. And then once you know the truth, once that's renewed your mind, it'll start to set you free. And the bottom line here is we need to apply the word of truth, the word of God, to disempower and disqualify and dismantle all those but clauses. And if they are deeply dug insecurities, some of them probably are, if they are long-held misreadings of the word of God, which they may well be, if it's a flawed picture of God the Father, and if some of them are utterly irrational, which I'm sure they are, only God's word has the power to unpick them. So let's use the sword of scripture to disqualify three big buts today. And we'll leave some of the others to another day and to another promise. So here's but number one. But my past disqualifies me. So if this is you, you read Romans 8:37, something like this. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. But my past sin and my history of failure disqualify me from the promise. And you know what? This is a classic and textbook example. And for some, the enemy uses this but to kind of jab and disrupt you. For others, he's used it to completely beat you up with it and left you paralyzed. Again, let's go back to our promise. What is the qualification? The qualification is in Christ. The qualification is through Christ. I want to take a minute just to look for a second at what the Bible says about everyone in Christ. Yes, everyone. I want to eyeball you all and say, you are not the exception. You're not. Romans 8 verse 1. Familiar verses these. This is the Amplified. Therefore, there is now no condemnation, no guilty verdict, no punishment for those who are in Christ Jesus, who believe in him as personal Lord and Savior. No condemnation. Psalm 103, verse 12. As far as the east is from the west. That's a mighty long way, folks. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. It's not what the enemy's telling you, but this is what God's telling you, right? Hebrews 4, 14 and 16. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. And then verse 16. Let us then, those of us who are in Christ, everyone, let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. I'm going to get my sword out, more like a kind of spiritual machine gun, I think. And I'm just going to throw some Bible facts at you. If I had time, we'd look up all the verses. We don't. So I'm just going to whack you with it. Fact, your sins are under the blood. Past, present, and future. It's a fact. Fact, in Christ, you are a new creation. The old has gone. Pause. And the new is here. Fact, you are no, we've read it, you are no longer shackled with the burden of sin and guilt. The price has been paid in full and your conscience has been wiped clean. Fact, you are positionally holy. I spent 9 weeks teaching on that. You are positionally in right standing with God. All he sees is the robe of righteousness that Christ himself put there. Fact, you can approach the throne of grace with boldness and confidence. You have unfettered access to his grace. Fact, all of God's promises are yes and amen to you in Christ, based not on your merits, but on Christ's finished work on the cross. And fact, because you are in Christ, you have become his co-heir, and all his promises are available to you by grace through faith. Folks, this is not obscure theology. I'm not stretching scripture to make a point here. This is fundamental, foundational Christian doctrine. What's the old saying? I'm going to find out who you old timers are now. God has thrown your sin into the sea of forgetfulness and posted a sign saying, no fishing. And if the devil reminds you of your past, poke your finger out and remind him of his future. Amen. Here's a thought for you. King David's adulterous past didn't disqualify him. Moses' murderous past didn't disqualify him. These are Old Testament. Peter's denials didn't disqualify him. Paul's vicious persecution didn't disqualify him. And nothing in your past disqualifies you either. Number one. Okay, button. I'm going to do three buts. Is that okay? Buckle up. But number two. But I blew it last time, so I'll probably blow it this time. Anyone else tag that button? You can hear me reading the verse going, oh yes, Pastor, but you don't know. You don't know what happened. If this is you, you read Romans 8:37 like this. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. But I've disproved this in the past by messing up. So in all likelihood, that's what will happen again this time. Already talked, haven't we, about renewing the mind. Renewing the mind is both an unlearning and a relearning. When you gave your life to Christ, when you stepped in Christ, everything changed. Might not have felt like it. There are still old habits that you need to lose. There are still unrenewed parts deep in your soul that need to be healed, yes. But the Bible reality is this. You are not a loser trying desperately and forlornly to win the occasional token victory. The Bible reality is you have become a victor by nature, by position, because you are in Christ. I'll put it like this. Because you are more than a conqueror, sin no longer has the power to defeat you. In fact, you have within you all the Holy Spirit power you need to overcome sin at every level. Just digging in now to what this verse really means. Here's another one. Because you are more than a conqueror, your past failures no longer define you. In fact, you are defined by Christ in you, the hope of glory. And I know that's an ongoing battle for all of us. And the third one, because you are more than a conqueror, You are no longer limited to the best you can do. In fact, the greater one lives in you. The same spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead lives in you. You are clothed with Holy Spirit dunamis power. You have access to the mind of Christ and the wisdom of heaven. But I blew it last time. But I wasn't in Christ last time. But I didn't know then what I know now last time. But I tried to do it in my own strength last time. But I didn't understand that my nature and my position and my destiny was more than a conqueror in Christ last time. Number three, I just don't have what it takes. I'm just not clever enough. I'm just not competent or talented enough to win this big fight. And if this is you, you read Romans 8:37, something like this. Now, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. But God needs my help. And my help is insufficient and inadequate. In essence, without articulating it as such, you are not expecting victory through him so much as through you. And so when that butt kicks in, recurring theme for the last few weeks, what do? You start strategizing a solution. Instead of trusting in the promise, you start leaning. You start micromanaging. You start fixing and interfering. You start trying to force God's hand. You start trying to hurry him up. In essence, you start trying to do God's job for him. Let's get that big sword out. What does the Bible say? Philippians 4, verse 13. You knew this one was coming. I can do all things. I think this might be another great big promise another week. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. 2 Peter 1, verse 3, Amplified. For his divine power has bestowed on us absolutely everything necessary for a dynamic spiritual life and godliness. But I don't have what it takes. Read the scripture. See what God says about you. See what you have now in Christ. But I haven't got what it takes. You do. Romans 8, 26. In the same way, the Spirit comes to us and helps us in our weakness. We do not know what prayer to offer or how to offer it as we should, but the Spirit himself knows our need. This is who we are in Christ. James 1 verse 5, if any of you lacks wisdom to guide him through a decision or circumstance, he is to ask of our benevolent God who gives to everyone generously and without rebuke or blame, and it will be given to him. You know, maybe in your natural self, you do not seem to have what it takes. But the rules have changed. The paradigm has shifted. You are now in Christ. You are more than a conqueror through Christ. You have the indwelling Holy Spirit in you to lead and to guide you. But I just don't have what it takes. Actually, you and God together have absolutely everything that it takes. And you are more than a conqueror because the greater one is living in your heart. Okay, we're nearly there. Two last questions. So what? And now what? For you, I'll get my pointy finger out. For you, now you are in Christ. You are more than conqueror. You are. And therefore, the expectation changes. The mindset changes. The thought process changes. The way you respond changes. How? Three really quick thoughts. I wish we had time to dig into it, we don't. Number one, in Christ, we are not headed to a victory. We're coming from a victory. Great theology right there. Number two, we are on the victory side, whatever lies our circumstances are telling us. And number three, we take the victory that we have in Christ, you carry that with you into every situation, into every conversation, into every difficulty, and into every decision. Why? Because you are now more than a conqueror through Christ who loved you. Now that one there, that list is a whole message in itself, possibly three, maybe one day. But the reality is, now we are in Christ, we have to relearn how to live. Not in a desperate struggle to the top of a distant and unattainable mountain, as though we were struggling to a victory. Not huffing and puffing in our own strength against impossible odds, mustering all we've got and doing the very best we can do. We need to relearn how to walk in the reality and the fullness of the provision and the promises and the new creation realities of victorious and resurrection life. Amen. What a great spot for an amen. I'm surprised more we didn't get that. Did I make it too subtle? No? Okay. What do I want you to do this week at last? He said, the question I've been longing for you to ask. What do I want you to do this week? Okay, ready? Every time that big ugly butt rears its big ugly head, I want you to say, no. No, sir. I want you to have what we call a get thee behind me, Satan, moment. You know what that is? God says, I am more than a conqueror through Christ. And right now, I choose through Christ. I am not a victim. I am not disqualified. Pastor told me. Bible told me. I am not the exception. I am in Christ. And that settles it. No, he goes, my rendering of Romans 8:37. No, in all these things, I am more than a conqueror through him who loved me. No ifs, no buts, no exceptions. And that reality defines my thoughts and determines my responses and drives my actions. Amen. Amen. Okay. Whew. So how do we respond to that this morning? I'll tell you how. First of all, we are together going to pray a big, bold prayer of declaration that'll be on the screen in just a minute. We'll do that first. And then we've got time, just about enough time for response here. And I just want you to kind of wrestle with this one. Do any of those but clauses, and I've done three specifically, you may have another one. Do any of those but clauses keep you from that great big promise? If so, take them to the Lord this morning. And if you need help, go and see the prayer ministry team, they'll pray with you. But my past disqualifies you, me. No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't. I've proven that from the scriptures today. But I blew it last time, so I'll probably blow it next time. Says who? Says who? And number three, but I just don't have what it takes. Well, you and Jesus together, I reckon you have more than enough. So what we can do, if the worship team wouldn't mind coming forward, we're going to put the big, bold thing. Why don't we stand? Stand and stretch those legs. Goodness me, we've been sitting down for 2.5 hours. Good for you. Wow, the time went that fast. Must have been good. Are we going to we're going to pray this big, bold, scriptural prayer, trust me, together with a positive and confident expression, and then we'll go into ministry. Okay, so, Neil, if you don't mind, here we go. Can you see that okay? Okay, let's pray. Lord, I come to you in the name of Jesus, the one who triumphed over darkness and stripped the spiritual tyrants of their sham authority. I acknowledge that I now stand in Christ, in his victory, in his kingdom, and in his name. Today, I choose to stop believing the lies that say I'm a victim and to accept the truth that in Christ, I am more than a conqueror. This means that I have to let go of a whole lot of pain, forgive the wrongs I am still clinging to, and repent for bad attitudes that I have allowed to develop. Lord, I release those debts and receive the healing of your Holy Spirit. Help me, Lord, to cleanse my mind of any tendencies to self-pity, criticism, victimization, and defeat. Refill me, Lord, with a spirit of sonship, a spirit of love, power, and soundness of mind. And from now onwards, may I see myself through your eyes and by my circumstances through the lens of your victory on the cross. Lord, may your grace perform a deep work inside me, I pray, by the power of the Holy Spirit and for your glory. Amen. Amen. Okay, we've got about 5-10 minutes. We're going to sing. If you want to come forth for prayer, obviously, as always, this side's available for people who want to do business with God. If you want prayer ministry, I'd encourage you to come over this side here. We've got a team that would be happy and delighted to pray with you. And I'll be here. If anyone wants prayer for healing, I have my anointing oil bottle with me. I'm very happy to pray for healing for you over here as well. And I'll pass back to Murray and we'll tie up with picking the kids and that kind of thing. So let's sing.